Shalom Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, shalom, and you fellow servants of our Lord. We have a lot to talk about tonight, and plus we're going to resume Matthew 24.
Yeah, this week is about one of my favorite topics, the fig tree.
Ah, mine as well, because it says so much. Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, the news fits so perfectly with tonight's Bible lesson. But first, let's open tonight's program in salutation for our soon coming commander-in-chief, our chief shepherd, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Okay, oh Lord, we do anticipate and anxiously await that last trumpet call sound. Help us to stay focused and remain mindful of your divine expectations for your bride in these very last days. We remain in awe of your mightiness and your miraculous victory over the six-day war, returning Jerusalem to your people. And even though they are about to divide your holy land, in fulfillment of your word, we are grateful that we have your word to know the rest of the story. Watch over your bride. Bless tonight's study, and may it glorify you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel was at the White House yesterday.
Indeed. Unfortunately, and like President Trump, they're both still under investigation, but we continue to pray in both cases that there is no there there. These are very typical political assaults to take the government down.
You know, it's interesting. It's happening here and in Israel, too.
Yes. Interesting, but not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But even though most of their discussions were behind closed doors, we all know what they talked about yesterday. That is, besides the peace deal and an invitation for President Trump, which he accepted, to attend the ribbon cutting of the U.S. Embassy in Israel, thereby taking part in their celebration of Israel's anniversary of statehood. But the rest could be summed up in one word.
Iran.
Yes. How did you know that?
Yeah.
As we have been saying for weeks, Israel will not be reserved much longer. They have done some bombing over the last year, knocking out at least one of Iran's new bases in Syria. But it's time to do more because Iran is not stopping. And Russia has said Iran has permission to be there from Assad, who is still the president of Syria.
Yeah, I think Isaiah 17 will soon be fulfilled because prophecy must be fulfilled.
You think?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, speaking at AIPAC today, and we're just going to have to wait till next week till I have a chance to pick that apart. But meanwhile, here in the United States, it keeps getting more bizarre. The White House is obviously under attack by evil entities. Robert Mueller just keeps expanding his original mandate and has now subpoenaed more Republicans. And we were talking this morning that it doesn't really matter that there is no there there. Many thousands of dollars that they're spending in attorney's fees alone, well, that can break their nest egg.
Yeah, I think of Hope Hicks, who is single and so young.
I know, and she just resigned, and I am sure it's because she just can't take Washington anymore. And I read yesterday that Michael Flynn had to actually sell his house to pay his bills. And how many really good college students are watching all this chaos and are being turned off into going into politics?
Who will run our country if the Lord doesn't return soon?
Right. Well, he will. This morning I also read that the newer congressmen, by the way, on both sides of the aisle, well, they're expected to spend at least 30 to 40 hours a week cold calling for donations to their party on the phones. It's insanity. It's wrong. And the left knows they can break you down when you are about to go bankrupt.
I think it's time for our own special counsel.
I agree. There are many Democrats that need investigated, like Peter Strzok and his mistress Lisa Page, Bruce and Nellie Orr, Andrew McCabe, Comey, and Mueller as well, because he was the FBI director when Clinton sold our uranium to the Russians.
Now there's the Russian collusion.
There is. That's between them. Between the Clintons, and I'm telling you what, Bill's involved too.
Yeah, but and all their cronies.
That's right. Meanwhile, President Trump is getting some Republican backlash on his gun control project and also the tariffs that he wants to impose to fulfill his campaign promises. And then there's those, we've had more bouts with some really tough weather last week in the Northeast, especially Massachusetts.
A million still out of electricity.
I think they might be. Some say it's because President Trump is behind the dividing of Jerusalem in the upcoming peace deal, which UN Ambassador Nikki Haley says is almost done, and parts, of course, are being leaked, and we all knew what was going to happen anyway because of Joel 3 and Ezekiel 36. It will be divided. But, honey, please tell our listeners how they can reach us and how they can help support this end-time ministry.
All right, then. You can send end-time question by email to Sheila, shofarministries.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay. Well, we have been taking Matthew 24 verse by verse. And again, you can listen to those past programs on shofarministries.net. We have examined up to verse 31, which covered the beginning, the middle, and the end to the last day of the tribulation when Christ returns and sends his angels to separate his new believers from all over what is left on the earth. We read that Jesus returns on the day of the sound of the great trump,
which is one of the idioms for Yom Kippur.
And just one of the reasons why we are pretty certain that he's going to return on a Yom Kippur.
So that means the tribulation will begin 7 biblical years earlier, making that also on a Yom Kippur.
That's right. Actually, 2,520 days. Exactly. You know, God is detailed and he's precise. Okay, let's read Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35, and then we'll pick it apart.
Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things that is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
All right. Okay, right off the bat, it says we learn this parable from the fig tree. Okay, first off, let's start by asking, what is the difference between a parable and a true story in the Bible? Well, true stories use at least one specific name of a person in the story. Parables use rather analogies of a hidden truth, never using people's names.
A common description of a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
Yes. When asked why he spoke in parables, Jesus explained that parables had a twofold purpose. First, to reveal the truth to those who really wanted to know it. However, to conceal the truth from those who were indifferent. Those who, like the Pharisees, had a preconceived bias against the Lord's teaching. You know they were going to just dismiss the parables as irrelevant nonsense.
The unsaved still do that today.
They do. However, those who truly seek the truth, those who have ears to hear, would understand. And often, when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained most of them to them. In this instance, they already knew what the fig tree symbolized because Scripture interprets Scripture. And we'll look at that in a moment, but This is the basic principle of hermeneutics and invaluable when studying the parables. Jesus' parables will never contradict the rest of the Word of God, which are meant to illustrate doctrine.
Okay, should we look at Hosea 9:10?
Yes, that's a good one.
I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season.
So here, God compares the land of Israel to grapes. In other places, he'll use the word vine. And then we see the people compared to fruits of the fig tree. In Jesus' day, his people weren't producing from the heart. They missed their Messiah, and because of that, Jesus cursed the fig tree. A few days earlier in Matthew 21, that took place. And so here in Matthew 24, after he cursed it, he said, "Watch for when it blooms again." This is a huge piece to our end time puzzle. Now, scholars say that the tender branches appeared again after the long dispersion when the Israelis began to return to their land and were acknowledged as a state on May 14th, 1948.
70 years ago this year.
Now that has to have some meaning, don't you think?
But Jesus cursed the fig tree in the spring season. Wasn't it too early for the fruit anyhow, which is harvested in the fall?
Well, the fruit doesn't ripen to eat till the fall, right? But small blossoms come in the spring, and obviously there weren't any. Also, there are usually some sign of past figs still left called pednicles that should be seen, and perhaps those weren't present either. So let's look at another one, because there's many, but I like the one in Joel 1, 6, and 7.
For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white.
Okay, now we know from Daniel 7, the lion is Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, burned the temple, the land, and killed some Jews, but took most of them captive for 70 years. There's that 70 again.
Mm-hmm. As we read in Jeremiah 24, where God shows him a vision of baskets of good figs and bad figs.
That's right. And we see the vineyard used in Isaiah 5, verse 7a.
For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel.
Their homeland. But we see here, he can also be including the northern tribes, because sometimes we do see the idioms used interchangeably when it comes to either Israel or his people.
And the men of Judah are his pleasant plant.
Again, referring to the figs, particularly those in Jerusalem. Again, they can be used interchangeably, but either way, we are seeing the land of Israel and the people as either grapes, vineyards, or figs.
Or don't forget the olive tree.
Oh, of course. And that's their spiritual heritage and doctrinal rights, which because of their unbelief, branches were broken off so the Gentiles can be adopted in or grafted into their Messiah, because the roots are still there to provide for the wild branches. And I read that the wild olive trees, and that's us, actually do produce more fruit, but soon all Israel will be grafted back in, and we will all be the same, as Paul says in Romans 11 and Galatians 3. Okay, now back to Matthew 24, verse 33. Jesus says, when you see all these things, okay, what things? Well, all that he has just spoken. The prophetic signs of the whole chapter, along with the tender branches of Israel in 1948. That's how we can know it's close, even at the doors. Number one, Israel. Now, his return in the clouds at the end of the tribulation on a white horse, and we can, we're going to be with him. And that's in Revelation 19 and Zechariah 14. Then the angels will gather the new elect, and according to the very next chapter 25, he judges between the sheep, putting them on his right, and the goats to the left. Isn't it so interesting that we see still today the left and the right? You know, even in Jesus' day, the righteous lived as close to the temple, close to God as they could. And that was on the right side of Jerusalem when facing the front of the temple. But the others wanted to be closer to Herod's palace, which was on the left side of Jerusalem, where, incidentally, the Valley of Hinnom is located, where they burned rubbish and they cremated the thieves and the bad people. Okay, now, in verse 34, it says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." Now, my take on this verse is that the generation, or the people alive at the time of the fig tree getting its leaves, and notice it does say leaves, it doesn't say fruit, because that doesn't happen until they accept their Messiah in the tribulation. That's why we are considered fruit. And we can see others by their fruits. So anyway, that some of us who see the fig tree with the tender branches, that is the first stages of the fig tree, in other words, but those people could still be alive when he returns. And that's certainly the case, because it's only 70 years this year. And you know, Psalm 90 verse 10, it does say that man's average age is 70 years. Or if very healthy, around 80. And again, this is average of everybody. So if the rapture is this year, there would then still be some unsaved who live into the tribulation and could be then close to 80 when it was all over, if they survive. And that, again, is according to Psalm 90, verse 10. So, you know, we got to be close, okay? Because Scripture doesn't lie. Now, by the way, I want to mention, too, that there are two definitions for a generation. It can either be 40 years, when a 20-year-old has a child, and then that child turns 20. That's considered a generation. Or, the word for generation can also be the average age of a man as a whole. Okay, in other words, the average age of everybody in the world is between 70, and if they're healthy, it's 80. And I think that's pretty true. Although I've been seeing some people that live to be 100, and I think, oh my goodness, they must take a lot of vitamins and minerals. Anyway, okay, let's go to verse 35. It says, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Well, we know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But his words will never pass away, and that's for sure. I'm sure we'll still have the word in the millennial kingdom. You probably know it a lot better. Anyway, now I also want to comment that in Luke's account, in chapter 21 of the fig tree, he adds to where it says, "Behold the fig tree," he says, "and all the trees." Now that's not in Matthew, but it is in Luke. And I believe these are other nations that have been formed, not just since Jesus was here, but especially in the last century. You know, the UN was established in 1945, and it only had 51 members at that time. By 1970, there were 127 members, including Israel, and today there are 193. So, don't forget, as well, there are the nations in the Middle East. We have the United Arab Emirates. That's kind of like the Arabs UN, okay? And we saw Iraq became an independent nation in 1932, Syria in 1946, Lebanon in 1932, and Jordan in 1946. So in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, we saw a bunch of new Arab nations come into existence, like Libya, Sudan, Tunisia, Yemen, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar. So that's quite a few. So the attention of the whole world is turned to Israel, though, and to these other trees that have shot forth and are hostile to Israel. Well, I'm reminded of Psalm 83. And I'm going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. For lo, thine enemies, that's Israel's enemies, make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, so that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Again, that's Psalm 83. And boy, is that talk about it, Iran. That's what their plan is. They're going to, they plan on getting rid of Israel, but thank goodness we know the end of the story. And in fact, it's that time when they attack Israel along with Russia and the other allies that God steps in. That's the War of Ezekiel 38. And he steps in and people recognize, the Jews recognize what's happening, and they accept their Messiah, because Ezekiel 38:23 says they will know the Lord from that day forward. Plus, we know they're saved when they flee to the mountains in Revelation 12, in the middle of the tribulation that we covered, might have been last week or the week before. Okay, well, anyway, so let me just ask you personally, are you a fruit producer? You know, a fruitless tree is useless, just as a spiritually barren nation is useless to God. And Israel was fruitless then and still is, but the good news is that the tender branches have arrived. And I think there's buds too. And why is that? Because the roots were left in the ground for us Gentiles. And for the Messianic Jews, many of them are getting saved today. And in fact, anyone that gets saved today is grafted in. Jew, Gentile, Muslims, anybody. Praise the Lord. So, as the Messianic Jews getting saved, I believe that's kind of a forerunner of the nation as a whole to see their fruition very soon. Things are heating up. It's an exciting time to be living, that's for darn sure. And, you know, Luke 21 says that you can escape the horrors of the soon coming judgment with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You should memorize that. It's number 6:22 through 27. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. And please, pray for our president. He needs our prayers. And pray for Israel as well. And pray that we can be a good witness and that people will see our fruits. Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.